Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for getting a hold of our hearts. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this joy, but yet, God, truly a longing pain. We want to see your Son. Oh, we want to see him. And Lord, thank you that we do know it's not even worthy to be compared. The glory that shall be revealed in us. And Jesus, it's for you. It's all for you. Thank you for what your grace has done, has finished, is doing, is performing, is perfecting. Oh God, it's so wonderful. And Lord, thank you that grace has given us the faith to believe you, and just to rest. Oh, the rest for the people of God. It's so marvelous. Let us enter in even the more today, Jesus. And we give you the praise in your precious name. Amen. Oh, my. Natalie, honey, thank God for the grace that's with you. And I know that you is the one that wants to do that. And he's put a love in your heart for him, honey. Never be ashamed of it. It's marvelous. We appreciate that courage. And God has given you a talent, honey. And the talent is you sing with the love of Jesus. And that's talent. Praise God. All right. Let's get to Exodus chapter 14. My body ain't as young as it used to be either. All right. Today's encouragement, live the fullness of the Passover, the fullness of it. And the Lord has taken my heart to the moments that were just right there before the end of, well, I'm going to say it this way, the end of the final act of the Jewish celebration of the Passover. The Jews, and I'm talking about the practicing Orthodox Jews, they will celebrate this Passover. And the final act of the Jewish Passover regarding this event of the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, it's when God says to Moses to lift up the rod over the sea. And I'm going to part the sea and I will bring Israel. I'll bring you across on dry land. And yet, as we are encouraged of the Lord, I look at that and I say, well, that wasn't the finale at all. In many ways, it was just the beginning. But what the Lord is really gracing my heart with, the whole purpose, brothers and sisters, the whole purpose of Israel's deliverance out of Egypt, it wasn't the plagues. It wasn't even the blood on the doorposts. It wasn't the parting of the sea. It was to bring them into God's promise of Canaan. It was to give them their full inheritance. It was to give them everything that God had intended for them to have. And brothers and sisters, I thank God, all of it was for all for his promise. It was for all that promise. And it's just like us. Here we are, brothers and sisters. The whole purpose of the lamb slain, the whole purpose of the cross, the whole purpose of giving us the Holy Ghost, the whole purpose of giving us Paul's gospel, praise God, is to bring us into the promise of Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. Amen. The fullness of the inheritance, praise God, that is offered to us. And I thank the Lord for it. And you know, here's our life, and we'll begin reading here, but here's our life just like Israel. When God calls us into the promise, and then God leads us out, here's the first thing that he'll always do. Let's read from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Phihoroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And here's why. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled, or they're trapped in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. So God calls you. God leads you out. What's the first thing he does? He sends you into a trap. That's God. Now, that is God. Now, I'll ask you, and I already know you know the answer. Now, why does God do that? Faith. He does it because of faith. Amen? He's never going to let you go away. Well, I see the way in my natural eyes. I see the way out. I can devise this path on my own. No, you can't. And it's not going to be that way. It's never going to be the way you think. You are going to go away that proves one thing. One thing. You trust God. It's going to be proven one thing. You trust God. You do not trust yourself. You don't trust anybody else. You trust God. You don't trust what your eyes see. You don't trust what your gut feels. You trust the Word of God. And what it says. That's trusting God. It's going to be improved, brothers and sisters, if we really will go on to the fullness of the promise. It's going to prove in your life that you are completely weak. Completely weak. And I think God's showing us in mighty ways in this place. Oh my. It's never going to be in our strength at all. He's going to get all the praise. It's going to be his grace all along the way. It's going to be only his grace all along the way if you really want the promise. If you're going to bring anything else back into this precious way that God has given us, I'm talking of your own strength, of your own doing, of your own merit, you're going to end up just like these children of Israel walking around that promise and missing the whole thing. Wouldn't that be a shame? It was a shame for them. I mean, it still just strikes me. God, don't let me waste my life. Don't let me. And see, as Christians, we've been given everything. But we could still waste it. I can squander the full inheritance by not going in and taking it. And I need to move in there now. It's not something I'm waiting on. You have to have a heart by God's grace. He tells us these things. Caleb and Joshua had that heart. They weren't waiting on anybody else. They were just assured. God said it. It's ours. That is exactly how it has to be with the bridal message in your life. You can't mess around with it anymore. You can't just contemplate it and think, well, do I really believe this? Is this really for me? You know, am I really going to win this? But you got to be assured. You got to be assured in what the Lord has called you to, prepared you for, enabled you with, and given you all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ for. It's for you to just walk in there and say, well, this is mine. This is what he's given me. My expectation is fully in him. He has given it. This is what he's bestowed upon us. Praise be to God. I wasn't born to be a servant. I was born of God to reign with him and to fully reign with him. And every single child of God, it's the same way. Lord, help us. We don't have time. We need to be ready now. Now, what's so beautiful, but yet, as we'll see, because of God's faithfulness, but how sad to think the overwhelming majority of people, here's how they responded. Here's how they responded. In verse 10 of that same chapter. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. How pitiful. How horribly pitiful. And especially the chapters leading up to this, of God's divine faithfulness. Everything that he'd shown them, what he'd told them in the Word of God, he was going to bring them out. He's going to bring them out. This wasn't something that was kept secret. They knew this. 400 years they were in slavery. But God's promises are yea and amen. It's not an if, it's coming. It's going to be made manifest. This was going to happen. There was no delaying it. It was going to be right on time. But we're just like this. This is what grieves my heart. We're just like this. Naturally, this is exactly who we are. And this is, as Christians, is our life with the Lord just about deliverance, or is it all about obtaining the promise? Do you just want to get out of your problems, or do you want to win the crown? That's what this is. Do you want to just watch God just deliver you and deliver you, and then you go back and say, well, are you going to deliver me this time, or murmur about it or something? Or do you really take this in, that this is really real, that this is true, that Canaan is what Canaan is, that it is for you? That crown is for you. You have it. Those that are listening to this, and truly, this is your message. This is your livelihood. You've got a crown. And the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's brought you in to hear this message. He is so divinely, honey. He's guided your life just like he's done mine, son. We got such a golden path. It's beautiful. I don't want to walk it in unbelief. And you say, well, you can't walk it in unbelief. Let me tell you something. His grace is awful mighty. And don't think too highly of yourself. The Word of God says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. And that means zero. God so graciously, he knew their heart. He knew their unbelief. He knew what their response would be, but he gave them more grace. I love our Jesus. You know, each and every one of us, somebody treat us like that, we'd say, get out of here. He was in it and in it with them to the very last moment. Well, there's no more time. He ministered to him all the time. Take it. Go in. Go in. Take it. Go in. Take it. Go in. Take it. How many laps they did around that promise. Right there it was. But he didn't quit. He always gave the more grace and continued to do it. Their actions of unbelief, murmuring, they reveal our nature, brothers and sisters. Our nature is to gravitate to compromise. We're slothful creatures, but for God. You may think that you're a real active person and you're really a go-getter and you achieve things and you got your big list and all of these different things. You're missing God's best. You're a sloth. I love you, my brethren. I do. We have been called to attain the glory of glories, for him, with him, to him. And his heart is so full of love and passion for us. His divine pleasure had been waiting. I mean, does it just thrill you? If you really believe the Word of God, he made time for you. He created time. He created time for you. Know the Word of God. I got to spend time with you. I got to make time for us. You've heard that expression? He literally did it. He made it to spend with you. Comprehend it. I'm about my life and about your life by the grace of God. Believe it all. You say, that's some corny little thing. No, it isn't. That's the most romantic thing anybody could ever say to you if you get it. But you can just sit there and say, oh, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'd sit there and pray, Lord, let it make sense to me. I've marked them that are happy. I've seen them that have gone before me that have won. And God graced me to say, that's the winner. I can't tell you how many successful, wealthy people I've sat with, known, worked for, worked with. It's awesome. It's amazing. I respect it in a sense. But I want to be around God's winners. And those that just, they just go after it. That their joy is Him. That they want what His desire is. And that He gets all the praise. And it's not about me gussying myself up. Because that ain't going to work. I'm just here to praise Him. I'm settled in, you know what? I want Him to have all the glory. I don't care what people may think. People might even think, well, I knew you when and this and that, and you're different. Well, praise God I am. Oh, I'm the same old rat that I've always been, and that's the truth. But I'll tell you what, I'm willing to let Jesus change me. How about you? Huh? You got to get rid of, oh, I got to be true to myself. Well, who are you? And whose are you? You want to be a man? There's only one man, and that's a man of God. Be men of God. That's a brave one. Now, their actions of unbelief were amazing. Their murmuring, it got stinky to the Lord. But really it is, it's gravitating to compromise. Every time we get, you know, trouble really hits us, what happens? Naturally, we want to turn back. We want to turn to something that's an easier way that, oh, you know what, this makes sense. This is going to be easier for my family. Oh, I hear that often. How many times I hear, well, you know, I know this is how they feel. I know this is how they look at me. This is what they see in me. Let me tell you something. Are you listening to the Word of God? You come into church, let the Word of God speak to you. Let it hit your ear and your heart. See, God help us, brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to find an easier way. I'm not trying to make sense of this life. Oh, no. I want God and His grace to be strong in my life. And I want to trust the grace of God. There's nothing more powerful than that. There just isn't. Always, at every moment of my life, trusting the grace of God that is with me, that's for me, that's all powerful. That I thank God. I want to grow up. I want to grow in the Lord. And the only way I can grow is in grace and in knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He that is full of grace and truth. Amen? So there's no other growing but this wonderful, marvelous grace. And to really comprehend that, we know it comes from His Word. We know it's everything, but it's about everything in your life. Every bit of your life, every bit of Romans 8:28, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I mean, really believe that? Well, that's what grace does. Grace takes everything in your life and works it together for your good. Everything. Grace isn't just this good thing that you think and that good thing that you think. Grace is everything that you think. Every thought, every action. every time, and you hear me, and I will say this till I see his face, and then for eternity. I'm going to just thank him. Lord, how many times you were waiting right there in hell for me when I was going to make my bed in it. You showed up early. You have to understand this about your life, brothers and sisters. You have to. Jesus Christ stood right there with Peter. Right there with Peter. Knowing exactly what Peter would do. Deny him three times. I mean, really, if you think about the height of something you don't want to do in life, is when Jesus appears and you see him face to face to deny him, not just once, but three times. Just, again, absorb that. And Jesus is right there with him. Amen? Loving on him, all of this. And he says, Peter, honey, the devil's going to sift you like wheat. He's going to sift you, son. He's going to sift you. Now, if Jesus didn't want him to go that way, Jesus could say, now, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. Matter of fact, you know what? You just come with me, son. I'm just going to put my arm around you, and we're just going to walk over here, and you're never going to have a chance to do that. But he didn't do that, did he? What did he do? He said, but I've prayed for you, Peter. But I've prayed for you, son. And that is going to happen, Peter. I've told you it's going to happen. I've warned you it's going to happen. You're telling me it's not going to happen. Because you're the one that's been telling me the whole time, you'll never deny me. No, Jesus didn't do that. He said, I know you. And this is the way it's got to be. And it can't be any other way. You got to see that my grace is with you always. My grace is for you always. My all things working together for good to them that love God. Brother, you love me. I gave that grace to you to love me. I love Jesus, saints. Do you love him? I know you do. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't love him. Now let him love you. Let him really love on you. All right. Now, you'd think, brothers and sisters, I want you to get this, with all the miracles that Israel had seen, you know what? Show me more. Huh? I've seen all these great miracles. I've seen 10 plagues. I've seen the Egyptians who had beaten us for 400 years, reigned over us, enslaved us for 400 years. I've seen them fearful. I've seen them running. I've seen them despairing of their lives and crying out truly to our God and to us, tell them to stop it. And they saw that time and time and time and time and time and time again. I want more of that, right? But they didn't. Right when it came to the next one. Now, let's just go back. It would have been better for us to continue into that in that bondage than to go into this incredible path and go on in it of this wonderful, not just a deliverer, but the one that's going to have us go into the promise that we have already inherited because he's given it to us. Yeah, man. It's mind-boggling. But the Lord is trying to wake us up because, believe it or not, they were living in their time too. And they were seeing the events of the world just like we're seeing the events of the world. And if you just look at the events of the world and you start to see the world and all of this, you forget this. It's something that, hit you from time to time, just like those plagues that they saw. Oh, God's mighty. Then they got back in the world. Oh, God's mighty. Then they got back in the world. God's just mighty. He's just mighty all the time. And he's going to do this for them that believe it. And it's there for you. And truly, brothers and sisters, God is so merciful and gracious. Trust him. He's given you the faith of his very son. That's the faith that you have. Your life lives by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. Tap into that. That's full faith. That's faith that can't be stopped. That's faith that truly believes everything of the Father. That's how, I'm telling you, supplied you are. You're still relying on you, and you got the life of Christ in you. And this isn't just happy thinking. This is what the Word of God says. And just to truly to receive it and to say, oh my goodness, I really am. I've got an arsenal that can't be stopped. I've got power from up on high. I got the very power of the resurrection. Praise be to God. I've got the Holy Ghost in me. You're talking about rising up. What couldn't I rise up from? Now, how could we not be excited about this? But you'd think that we want to see more delivering and all these different things with all the grace that was poured out to them. They'd even want to be more bold in grace. But you know what the problem was? They were too uncomfortable to trust. They were too uncomfortable to let God do everything. And here again, the Lord is calling out today. I have accomplished it. I have finished it. Everything for your full inheritance is done. Go forward. Go forward. Don't even look back. Just go forward. There's no difference. God's promises are yea and amen. We look back on this promise that was given to them. Was God faithful to that promise? Did God withdraw that promise? No, he didn't. It was still there, wasn't it? We'll talk about this just in a second again. And think about the promise, how many enjoyed it of the millions that went out. Two. God was still faithful for two. Two. Really? He was faithful for all of them, but he was faithful to the word of God. He was faithful to his promise. And all we, by the grace of God, need to receive the grace to say, God said it. That's what faith is. God said it, and I believe it, that it is mine. He's told me that's mine. And we read about the promise, which is just like all the other promises of God. They're done. They're done. They're just waiting for their manifestation. We get to look back at this one and we see that it was finished and done. Canaan was there. It was exactly like he said. He said, walk in it. It's yours. It's freely given. It's all yours. And we've got a promise. We've got even a better thing. We've got an inheritance. Oh my goodness. An exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it's a promise of God, so once again, it's done. And he's faithful to it, and he will perform it. He's promised in you. That's what's so glorious. So believe him to do it. Come on now. And hear God, he did this over and over. And I want you to understand this. It wasn't their faith that took them on. It was not their faith that took them on. They would have turned back 100 times over. It was God's faithfulness that took them on. It's God's faithfulness that takes you on. I want you to believe in the grace of God because he wants you to believe in the grace of God. God's faithfulness takes them on. God's faithfulness takes you on. They would have turned back, but God would not will that. He could have let them go right back into Egypt. But God. No. You're not going to. How Jesus dealt with Judas. Knew the outcome. Knew what was going on. But to the very end, he continued to love him. And here, we're the sons of God. How much does he love us? Oh my Lord, let us attend to this. How can we neglect so great salvation? Against their will, his will prevailed. That's how he loves us. How many times he has overruled your will? How many times has he overruled your choice? Oh, thank you, Jesus. My choice, get out of here. And that's the truth. I believe him in that. I do. I believe his grace is that sufficient. It's that powerful. It's that loving. My crown looks mighty wonderful. I know who holds it. I know who's faithful to keep it. Oh, Jesus. He wouldn't let you go any other direction. Let him sweetly tell your heart, you're going forward. He's telling that to your heart. Oh, yes, he is. You're going forward. And that's what this sermon is. That the Passover would be complete in our lives. That we would obtain the mother lode of glory. And go get what this is all about. Go get our Canaan. Go get our bridegroom. That's what this is. Just go get it. Go in there and take him. Hallelujah. And as I said, only two went in. Two of them millions went in. Amen. But I thank the Lord as the Lord was ministering to my heart. I thank God. I perceive there's more than two in here. Praise God. Because of the abundance of the love of grace and mercy. Amen. 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 And all I can tell you is by the grace of God, allowing that grace and mercy to keep melting your heart and breaking your heart and pour all over you. Praise be to God. Because trusting completely in his faithfulness. Trusting completely in his faithfulness is how you keep going forward. That's it. So, what can you do today? Well, you can thank him. You know what you thank him for? I'm here. I'm still in it. And he keeps me. And I thank God with you. His grace has overruled. His grace has overruled time and time again my unbelief. And praise finally broke out of my heart. How about you? I believe we sing a song, I'm living in Canaan now. The wife hath made herself ready. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name we thank you. And Lord, we again give you all the praise. I'm in awe with my brethren how your passion never ceases. And Lord, your patience and long-suffering and your desire. And Lord, we do. We're stunned. And at times, we are in just, again, this awe of your faithfulness, your undying faithfulness to us. And to hear, really, thank you for the Spirit's utterance, to hear your message to us, and this message of this full passion of your heart. Arise, awaken, take it, move into it, possess all of it, and do it now. Lord, just grace our hearts to, again, to say thank you today. That, Lord, you've kept me in it. Lord, you're keeping me in it. Hallelujah, I'm still in it. And praise be to God, I know your grace, we will win. And I thank the Lord, I can truly believe in your grace that we have won because you have won and finished it for us. Now, I believe in that risen Savior. And we believe, praise God, in the power of that resurrection, that nothing's going to keep us down. And I give you all the praise with my brethren today. And what a full joy you have brought. Thank you, beloved bridegroom, our precious Jesus, in your name, amen.